This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right. Welcome back. Episode number 121 of the Four Train Savages podcast. It's been a bad time. Last couple days, Rob, Yanks down 2-1 in the series. Kind of iffy game two is whatever. Fault of the offense, I think we can both agree on. And last night, game three, probably one of the more heartbreaking losses I can remember. I think it's up there with a couple Houston games for me. Yanks in a bad spot, backs up against the wall, dude. Not a great morning, not a great evening. Rob, how we doing?
Yeah, not great, man. It's tough. I agree. It's one of the most deflating losses you can watch as a Yankees fan. I already had a little bit of a tiring weekend doing some wedding stuff. Attended a wedding, and I was able to game two. I was able to watch up until the seventh, and then it was tied 2-2 and. I got the notification later, a little later, that mm-hmm. I think you texted me, God damn it, or something. I don't know what it was. And then, yesterday I was tired, but you know, when I'm watching the game, I'm still invested. And it's just, and to watch it all unravel was heartbreaking. And it's not over because we have Cole on the mound later tonight. We're recording now. In the morning of October 16th before game four, and you have an opportunity to bring it back to the Bronx. And this is why you pay Garrett Cole the big bucks. This is why you call him the ace, and now he's on a shorter rest than we'd like, but he's going to still go out there and do it. And there's a lot to get into. Like you said, the game one was really chalked that up to poor offensive performances. You know, you mm-hmm. had Stanton finally coming alive, expected that to happen, put us up 2-0. But then you look at the rest of the team and you say, come on, fellas, what are we doing? And game three,
Bieber's a good pitcher.
Yeah, game three, a lot to get into there. But the thing that I'd say, like, we were debating about who we would rather play between Cleveland or Tampa, but and Cleveland is a scrappy group. We knew that coming in. We talked about how mm-hmm. hot they played. But you really look at these last two games, bro, and you say, well, for one, you're thinking about...
Series could be over.
Yeah, the series really could be over. And then you look at last night and you're saying, well, okay, like that's at least up 2-1, man, heading into a game four. Because you had a two-run lead. Tyler, the last time that...
It was 5-2 at one point, right? I think last night...
5-3.
Okay.
Tyler, question. When do you think the last time the Yankees lost a lead in the going into the ninth inning?
In the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
I don't know. I saw that ESPN stats
never.
Thing last night. I don't know what it was.
Never.
But
167-0. So you're right, and I'm right when we say like that is one of the most heartbreaking finishes to a game.
Five hits in the ninth inning, dude.
I mean...
Don't have a bullpen.
Dude, the game before... Yeah, the bullpen, but the game before where the offense goes dead silent after Stanton home run, and then you have the next day, you have a Judge home run, a Bader home run, a sick Oswaldo home run, and the offense got going, and then the bullpen falls short. So we knew that coming in, that those were the two factors that we talked about. Was,
yep.
All right, we have a depleted bullpen. What's going to happen when we get in there and get into late situations? And then we say, we have a really good offense, but is it going to fall asleep? Which they did in game two. So, yeah, man, it's big day today. Really,
yeah.
I mean, we're either...
Stressful day.
We're either coming back...
It's win or go home, dude.
Yeah, we're either coming back on the pod talking about...
Game five outlook.
Or... Not, and we're just saying,
well,
great,
yeah,
well, great, horrible.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Horrible end of the season, and it just, and I'm sorry, the Yankees were set up for success as much, or they are set up for success with this series to win, and you're playing against a team that, I'm not downgrading what Cleveland did, but they did play the AL Central, what, close to half of their games.
A million times, yeah, a million times.
And they have a lot of great mojo going on, and that's what you need in postseason baseball. But then you look at the Yankees and you say, really, you could classify it as a choke job right now, especially last night with losing that lead. But two more games, we're gonna hold hope, but we gotta get into this stuff. So yeah, game two. Nestor,
bad time.
Five innings pitched, six hits, two earned runs, three walks, three Ks. So Nestor let on and had a little bit more base traffic than typically we would have with Nestor. But Stanton started it off. Finally, playoff Stanton has arrived. And I, like I told you, he was putting together a lot of really good at bats, I thought, and it paid off here and to start the game. Glaber got on with a little base hit, a little bloop single to right field. And then Stanton drives him in with the home run. And then base traffic again in the top of the fourth with Jimenez singling to then get in Josh Naylor. Luckily, they were able to work out of it. That play by Nestor was wild. That the one where he...
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Insane. And then Ahmed Rosario ties it 2-2. And then I'll let you kind of take over because, as I said, I was at... wedding, so I was trying my best to pay attention as much as I could, but
yeah.
So
nah, dude, it's just battle of the bullpens for the most part. Two teams. I mean, we know Cleveland relies heavily on their pitching. They use their top dudes in this game. Obviously, Shane Bieber threw. He's an ace coming off of Cy Young a couple years ago in the COVID season. He's a good pitcher. Nestor, good pitcher as well, obviously. But Cleveland threw Stephen, who is very good this year. Karinchak, who we've had some success off of, but is also very good. And Class A threw 2 1/3 innings here on Friday. Best closer in baseball this year. So they threw the house at us, and they won, dude. Yankees go from Nestor to Trevino, Loaiza, Peralta, Clay to J-Mo. And you kind of knew it. And then to Clark to finish it off because J-Mo couldn't get out of it, but... So it was 2-2, Rob, heading into the 10th. The Yankees were getting no type of offense. Like, it didn't feel like we had a threat in any way. It wasn't great. And then you bring in J-Mo for the 10th, which I immediately did not love. I think as a starter, the first inning is always the toughest for J-Mo. I don't think he's a great first inning pitcher. I don't understand bringing, you know, him in for his first career relief appearance in the top of the 10th in the ALDS in a tied game when you got dudes like, you know, Clark or Herman, even Litke, just dudes that have been out of the pen. I don't really know what J-Mo's giving you right there that anyone else can't. I think Jose Ramirez starts it off with a leadoff double that turned into a triple because of an errant throw by Donaldson. And that was kind of the game, dude, at that point. They end up putting up two runs in the 10th inning. And Oscar Gonzalez single, bloop single, where J-Ram scored, and then a Naylor doubled to deep center, which was a rocket over Bader's head. And then Oscar Gonzalez scores. And Yanks go down quietly in the bottom half of the 10th. And that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. Tie game, heading into game three, Rob. It was beat.
Yeah. So game three, the way that it started, Cleveland started it off putting two runs on the board courtesy of a Naylor single.
Sevy looked weird the first couple of innings.
Yeah,
dude.
But Sevy really battled really good.
Oh, he looked good. Yeah, after the first two, he settled in.
I told you I wanted them to put in Herman, and I think a lot of people were looking that maybe a start to put in a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Sevy battled back, and you got to give him credit there.
Pitched well. I'd sign up for that line.
But we'll say, Tyler... we alluded to it last pod because we were both in the game, or we were both in the stadium for game one. Two runs this game, you could say, came because of IKF and
he's terrible
allowing runners on. And we saw it. We went to game one where he had a little blunder at shortstop.
Cost Cole 15 pitches
at the stadium. And you just say to yourself, that's baseball.
We all knew it, dude. We all knew it,
and baseball's really weird. And when
ball will find you.
The ball will find you, and when that happens, it typically is a trickle down effect where other stuff begins to happen. So,
mind you, none of these are scored errors either, which is
wild.
Just mind boggling.
Very, very wild. So that happened in the.
That was in like the first or second inning. It was a tough play, Rob. I must say, it was like a little liner, to the backhand side of IKF. But you got to get in front of it at the very least.
I mean,
like, he had to knock it down in some sense. Like, even if you can't get the out, because I think I don't remember who was running, but I don't think it was some. I don't think it was like a Josh Naylor or someone pretty slow. But you got to knock the ball down.
I think the best play that he made was, if you remember it, at the.
He made two good plays.
When they then loaded the bases on Wandy, I believe, towards the end, he like, there was like a weird in between.
Oh, when it was first and third, yeah.
And he I said that's a good play, but yeah, I the ball, like you said it perfectly. The ball will find you, and the ball has found him. And it's just not. And I don't ever tell me. And the fact that above average shortstop, or even in that realm of top shortstops defensively, is just I can't do it. And I.
And then when he costed us another, I don't think it ended up being a run or what. No, it did cost us a run. When he threw the ball away to Rizzo, yep. And Rizzo got pulled off the bag.
Yeah, that was the other one. That was the second one. So
that made it what, a 5-4 game, I believe.
Just, you can't.
Yanks lose by one run. IKF gave what, two of them?
Yeah, two runs. And
Seve could have finished. Seve can finish the sixth, maybe even go into the seventh. You have your bullpen for longer. Like, we don't have a bullpen when IKF is out here costing Seve 20, 25 pitches. That's fucking terrible, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, to put it simply, you can't have it.
No. And then Judge finally shows up here, which was a bomb to center field, to tie the game. Oswaldo then puts us up two with a pimp job.
That was so sick.
Two-run home run. And then, like you said, in the bottom of the sixth, they get it to 4-3. And then Harrison Bader hits a home run to put us up 5-3. So
mm-hmm.
Let's get into this.
All on the homer.
The whole talk and conversation now today is about the bullpen moves. What
interesting comments, too.
Interesting comments. So what did you take away from the bullpen moves?
Listen, man, I didn't hate the sequence of the bullpen moves necessarily. They went from Seve to Trevino to Loaiza to Peralta to Clark. You just pulled them very, very early, yes. Dude. I didn't really understand it at all. Trevino got one out, Rob, and he threw seven pitches. Loaiza got two outs. He threw 15 pitches. Both of those guys could have gotten you more than three outs. I think it was very clear to me this team was managing for tomorrow with the intention of them winning yesterday and being up 2-1. They wanted to be fresh for tomorrow. They didn't stretch their high leverage guys at all. You let Wandy go 1 2/3, which is cool, dude. He threw 27 pitches. Let him run. Let him go. This is the playoffs. Who the heck cares? Like, this is a pivotal game three, you know, game that you have to win. But once you're out on Wandy, you're like, oh, God, we don't have anyone left to throw. So you got to bring in Clark in a terrible, terrible situation with runners on the corners, and you're up by one run in the bottom of the ninth inning, dude. So, you know, say what you want about Clark or Clay with some interesting comments. I don't know if the game ends any differently with Clay. I haven't been confident in him. Some people may feel otherwise. But you have to stretch Trevino or Loaiza to more than three outs. Because that was the biggest thing. When you let both those dudes go only 22 pitches, we don't have a bullpen right now. Marinaccio hurt. Efros hurt. Chapman in Miami. You know, it's just bad. We don't have dudes to spare. We don't have pitches to spare. This is like an all-in type of thing.
Yeah.
It was just frustrating, man. I didn't hate either move. I questioned the early hook at times. And it bit us in the butt, Rob. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I that's easily my biggest gripe. I'm just looking at the logs, but Trevino, I think, or who let on Loaiza. Loaiza let on Jose Ramirez. And then the thing that frustrates me the most is that they sometimes, the way that they'll talk themselves.
Loaiza pitched well.
They'll talk themselves in and out of certain things here and there is they'll say, we don't give a shit about lefty-righty matchups, but then they show here that they give a shit about lefty-righty matchups, or lefty-righty, whatever. And then they say, oh, well, it was an intuition thing, and or this is how I felt on it. And the clear reason that they brought in Wandy in that situation was for on Josh Naylor, lefty-lefty with Wandy and Josh Naylor. And I'm just – one, Loaiza, we talked about it. Those are your top three relievers. Trevino, Loaiza, and Wandy at this moment in time. And Loaiza has pitched very well. Not to mention the previous game, Wandy threw 15 pitches. Loaiza also threw 15 pitches. But then you're gonna let then you're just gonna throw Wandy back in and let him go 27. And then yeah, you factor in the fact that Lou Trevino has seven. So the whole like pitch count situation just makes no sense because
It's the playoffs,
Loaiza and Wandy had the equal amount of pitches thrown in the previous game, but then you're going to allow Wandy to go that much longer only because you wanted to do the lefty-lefty with Naylor. But you have no room. Like you Jonathan Loaiza does look like he's somewhat back to what we saw. Like we've watched him. He has pitched well. Leave him in the game. And then you can go into Trevino too. Exactly. And you're not looking at you're not asking Wandy to get that many outs, which is the crazy thing. And this is where, like the whole Clay thing, I think that my piece.
But Clay's been erratic, dude.
He has been erratic.
I don't know how much different this game ends.
So he's been erratic, and I think looking at so people will use the recent memory of him in Game One where we were at. And he got he hit the batter, but then he got the next two outs and pitched two-thirds of an inning and got out of it, closed the game, locked door down. And listen, I got to be honest, the emergency comment by Boone kind of triggered me. And what is an emergency in your mind? And Andy Martino then followed it up.
It was all bad.
Andy Martino followed it up, and he said, oh, emergency would be extra innings. Like, dude, the fact that you guys are about to blow it in the ninth isn't emergency, like hit the fire extinguisher, like hit the button, panic button, like I don't know,
yeah, do something.
So that pissed me off. But okay, if you're not like,
I don't even think Clark pitched bad.
I gotta be honest, I thought he left a lot of stuff over the plate.
Yeah, but the hit he gave up, I mean, the one to Rosario, I guess, got hit kind of hard. But the game winning hit he gave off is off the plate, dude. It's not even a fucking strike.
I think. Like, Naylor was just swinging at anything that was within, like, close to anything because that guy just wanted to hit it out of the park. I thought Clark
was... He K'd Naylor, though, I think, right?
Yeah, he did, but that's why I'm saying, like, he was swinging everywhere. And
yeah, he left a tough curveball to Naylor. I remember that. I freaked out.
So, but back to the Clay Holmes thing. We're at a point where we can't really... We don't have a lot of options left, basically, right? And we've seen what Clay Holmes did at the end of the year, and we know that he's been struggling. His last appearance was solid, gave us a little hesitancy with the hit by pitch. But okay, we've talked about if we're gonna exclude him from the quote unquote closer role, then why don't we think about using him in other situations that don't have to be in the highest of leverage in the last inning? Why don't we
like Laza can't be pitching the seventh?
Yeah, Tyler, if we want to switch it now, then put Loaiza at the back end and put Clay in those earlier
first
spots.
First man out of the pen.
It's what I used to say with Chapman. Like, I'm saying, okay, if we want to get him, I don't know, back on track, pitch him earlier. And that's what I think they have to do with Clay now. So my issue wasn't as much that they didn't have Clay close. I mean, the optics of it and the way that it sounded in the press conference after was horrendous. But I think that the idea should be to try and pitch him earlier because we don't really have that many options to say, oh, we can mix and match here, we could do this, we could do that. And I think that, who knows, maybe it builds some more confidence for him throughout the rest of the playoffs. I don't know. But to say, like, we don't have that many options. And then it goes back to, you know, you could put Loaisiga later or save Wandy some pitches. And then obviously if you need to have a quick hook, you have a quick hook. But just really
I don't even mind like the having Clark come in. That's kind of whatever to me. Because like I said, I'm not super confident in Clay. It's the quick hooks that bother me. Yeah. I mean, you frankly cannot have your third best reliever in Lou Trevino get one out. He needs to get more than one out. He needs to, like, he finished off the sixth. He should have came back out for the seventh. Then give Wandy the eighth or Laza the eighth. So one of them can take the ninth. So Clark is never in that spot. It's frustrating, dude. And now we're down 2-1, and I think very clearly a lot of Yankees fans thought they had this game in the bag, especially after Bader went deep. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, cool. We're about to, you know, end this in Cleveland tomorrow with Garrett on the bump. Now, you know, Yankees are in their worst spot. This is like front office's worst nightmare. Bullpen's kind of gassed. And you're down by two games.
And we didn't even talk. I would wait till the season's over to even. I don't even want to harp on Boone or Cash. I really don't want to do that yet. We can do that later.
Free agency.
We're not doing that till this. We know whenever the season ends, we'll talk about that. But it is something to talk about that while you were watching, I missed the portion of it. But Donaldson with that error at the end and coming from that trade, you look at Isaiah Kiner-Falefa making errors not official errors, but errors to what
free
we're
outs,
looking at.
Free runs, free, whatever you want to call
you
them.
And look at what Donaldson makes that throwing mistake, and then IKF, and you see, and Peraza's not even on the roster, so it doesn't give us that option. And, man,
they're terrible.
It's too bad. Honestly, bro, at this point, just to do some shifting around, I was talking about with some of my friends that are Yankee fans, I'm saying, man, I would even put Benny with a bum hand and left, and then put Oswaldo at short and move IKF to third if that means. And Donaldson's not doing anything with the stick either. Had a bad K yesterday. I'm saying, what the hell? Yeah.
Just looking at it.
Listen.
Put Waldo at short, bro. Put Stanton in left. DH Carp.
Something.
I don't know.
Something. Okay. So. Let's talk about the game tonight, right? We got Cole versus Quantrill, so rematch from game one.
Rematch.
And we're going to see what the lineup is tonight, but what did you think of the last lineup? I talked to you about...
It was ugly, dude.
I thought it was time to shift Judge out of the leadoff spot, though.
I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they moved Judge out of the leadoff spot.
So what do you take issue with?
It's not necessarily an issue like that there was other options. The issue with me is that, you know, the whole bottom half of my lineup starts with Josh Donaldson at 5, IKF at 6.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. Waldo was phenomenal in the 9 hole.
I'm okay.
He shouldn't have to even be in the middle of the lineup.
Bader... Do you think you move Bader up now past Donaldson?
No, I don't think you can do all this like moving, you know, up and down necessarily. I want some sort of
similar to the.
I want dudes somewhere in the same spot because I don't really know, bro. It's just 5-6 and like 5 and 6. You're two Donaldson and IKF in the middle lineup is just bad. But they don't really have any other options because they leave Peraza off the roster, dude. There's no DJ. There's no Benny.
You're looking at Marwin Gonzalez, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a way where Carp could start if Stanton can play left. We don't know if that can happen. Carpenter's got one at-bat this postseason so far.
Oh, yeah. In three games. He pinch hit, and I saw Twitter was blowing up again. Was it because of the fact that they didn't pinch hit him later when they had the bases juiced? Because I was...
What, in game 2?
Yeah, because I was on the road, so I saw that they had the bases loaded, so a lot of people were saying it's too bad we didn't have Carp in that bases loaded
situation. Yeah, they used them. There was a runner on first and, like, one out, and they pinched hit him in the fifth or the sixth or something like that. He put up a good AB. I didn't hate the call because, you know, you can't really read the rest of the game, I suppose. And I guess Boone thought, you know, they had a chance to score there. Obviously, they didn't. But put up a good AB, dude. I think he went 3-2, fouled a couple off, worked the count like 6-7 pitches. As we've said before, he's a really good hitter when it comes to making the pitcher work. Ended up striking out, but that was kind of it. We need more of it. He's putting up better ABs than a lot of people in this lineup right now. We need something, dude. We need a spark, bro. Mm-hmm. I wish he hit yesterday too.
It's gonna be very stress filled. But I think,
yeah, the next 2 days a minimum.
Yeah, I think it was just, it's good to do this one right after because we just, that the whole bullpen, and I always hate debating bullpen stuff because it's just, it's a difficult challenge, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at how we are right now and just not giving guys more length to pitch was very just mind-boggling to me.
Just looking forward to tomorrow. Or looking toward tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like they were doing, dude. They wanted to have Laza and Trevino go tomorrow. Well, guess what? Now you're going tomorrow, as in today, regardless, because you lost.
Yeah.
We need a laugher, bro. We need to come out and bang on Quantrill.
Yep.
And Cole's got to go 8.
I think Gerrit Cole will pitch well tonight.
I do as well.
I think he will pitch well. And as we always say, better be rooting for him to pitch well and rather than his demise, but unfortunately probably at this moment in time there's some pessimistic Yankee fans that are probably rooting against it, so which is unfortunate. But game 4 tonight, game 5 tomorrow night, both at 7 I believe, and then
better get to a game 5.
Yeah, so, or yeah, if there would be a game 5 tomorrow. Yeah, a lot of craziness in the playoffs already, but
a lot of good teams out, bro.
A lot of good teams out. So let's hope that we're not one of them. Appreciate you guys for joining us for episode 121. Hopefully the next time that we're talking to you guys, we're talking about some winning and that the season's
Game
not
five.
Over. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As always, subscribe, leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Follow us at 4TrainSavages on Instagram and TikTok, at 4Savages on Twitter. Let's go, Garrett. Get it done. Allow us to live another day. Keep the season alive. Appreciate you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.